This is Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi. Here now, Tony Bruschi.
Have you heard the 911 call?
No, I haven't heard the 911 call on this one, but yes, 911 calls are extremely telling.
Well, you're in for a treat, Robin, because we're going to listen to a good chunk of the 911 call. And I want to just, you know, I want to get your live reaction as we play it back. We'll probably pause a few times in here as we break it down. But yeah, let's take a listen to the 911 call. This is the ex-fiance. This is Sam Goldman calling 911. As he discovers, supposedly, you know, his fiance dead. I want to make note of something before we even go into it, though, because this is this I think is key. Just for reference, as you're going into this, it sounds as if he is discovering what has happened to Ellen as the call is progressing, but he enters into the call acting as if he already has the knowledge. That's a weird part. I noticed that, and I made that observation this last week while listening to it for like the 40th time. Let's take a listen. Here's a 911 call.
Oh, I need I just walked to my apartment. My fiance's on the floor with blood everywhere.
What is the address?
4601 Flat Rock Road. Please come. Help.
4601
Flat Rock Road.
Is this a house or apartment?
Oh, no. Oh, no. It's an apartment.
What apartment number?
Please hurry, please.
Where is she bleeding from?
I don't know. I can't tell. She's...
No. So you have to calm yourself down in order to get you some help.
I'm sorry. She, okay. I don't know. I'm looking at her right now. I can't see anything. She didn't, there's nothing broken. She's bleeding. Ellie.
You don't know where she's bleeding from? Can't see where the blood's coming from?
It's, I think her head. I think she hit her head, I think. But it's up, everywhere.
Okay,
it's everywhere.
She might have fallen. Do you know what happened?
She may have slipped. There's blood on the table. Her face is a little purple.
Okay, hold on for rescue for her. Stay on the phone.
Philadelphia Fire Department 842. What's the address? No,
4601 Flat Rock Road. Please hurry.
4601 Flat Rock?
Yes.
What's wrong?
I went downstairs to go work out. I came back up. The door was latched. My fiance's inside. She wasn't answering. So after about a half hour, I decided to break it down. I see her now just on the floor with blood. She's not responding.
Okay. Is she breathing? Look at her chest. I need you to calm down. And I need you to look at her chest. It's really.
I don't think she is. I really don't think she is.
Listen to me. Someone's on the way. Look at her chest. Is she flat on her back?
She's on her back.
Look at her chest and tell me if it's going up and down, up and down.
I don't see her moving.
Okay, do you know how to do CPR?
I don't.
Okay, I can tell you what to do, okay, until they get there. I want you to keep her
focused. Oh, God.
Hello?
Yeah, hi, okay.
Are you willing to do CPR with me over the phone until they get there?
I have to, right?
I'm going to pause right there. We're going to go back to more of it.
God, I have to.
I suppose, right? I have to, right?
That so there's a lot of red flags.
Let's just begin with that first part because there's so much and there's a whole second half here. Give me your reactions.
So anytime you're dealing with anything like this in anything in life, we do that deep act of empathy where we put ourselves in that person's place and try to imagine what your response would be for someone you love dearly like this. And then you kind of look at what you would react like, and then you kind of try to superimpose it on what you're actually hearing from someone else. The amount of detail that sounded very scripted to me right at the beginning was my first red flag that I wouldn't typically hear that. You would hear someone that was not believing what they're seeing and get here now. I don't know what's wrong. Oh my God, I need help. You know, it's just like that. And then what the 911 caller is trying to do is calm them down to get details. He gave details before he was asked. So that this rings to me of scripting, because people don't want to believe what they're seeing because they're not expecting to see it. And so that's what was a little off to me at the very beginning.
Some of the things that I had noted in there, Yeah, the scriptedness, it feels of it. The alibi that is talked about immediately. Yeah,
the focus also was leaving her onto him, and part of the script was he scripted in his alibi of how he found her.
Yeah.
That's not what you care about.
At that moment, no.
No, nope, 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 nope. Your mind is not thinking that. If this was about her, it wouldn't be. And what we kept seeing, the data points, or he kept shifting it back to him, including him. The other thing, and I'm sorry to interject this too, the other first thing that you do when you show up on scene that hopefully that the people that show up, the first responders, would see was, is there blood on him?
Mm-hmm.
Because had he actually, because a lot of indicators are when first responders show on scene and the person called in the 911 call for a loved one that is, as he described, bloody, the first thing you should see is blood all over the person trying to save their life.
Yeah.
I'd be curious.
Yeah, I would too. But again, never investigated as a crime. I also noticed this, and this has been kind of a tell sign in other 911 calls of it being scripted. And again, these are just observations. I'm not saying he did this. He has never been charged with a crime. He's off living his life in, I believe, New York City, has a family, has kids, has moved on. And good for him. If he has nothing to do with this, good. I hope that after a trauma like this, and if your way of mourning was really just walking away from this and not doing anything else, okay, that's, people do things. So whatever it may be. But again, questions should be answered. And I'm just saying that. Questions should be answered. But it was weird, if you notice. We go from huffing, puffing the second that there's a connection there on the phone with the dispatcher. And then, hang on, it all stops. The huffing, the puffing. And all of a sudden, it's like, action! Then the second one comes on, and all of a sudden, whoa, we go back into frantic mode. But then very quickly, we go up and down, up and down. Oh, my God! Oh, my God! Oh, is that... I suppose I have to, right? Oh, my God! Again, people can be weird. People can act in strange ways. I don't know. I mean, yes, it could be explained. It could be 1,000% innocent. It just stands out as weird. And that's why it's like, why did we not look at this a little bit closer? Just to get the questions answered.
So I suppose I have to. That line is such a fascinating line. I'd be very curious about how he processes information. And what I mean by that is, I don't know if he was saying that as a question to them, or is he saying it as reflection internally, like his thought process is. I mean, think about this. If you're trying to script something and you forgot a key point, you're saying to yourself, oh, I suppose I have to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
And at this point, he has not revealed to the 911 operator, and he supposedly hasn't seen this yet. So it's not that he had it supposedly in his knowledge to reveal yet, but he has not yet revealed that there is a knife in her heart specifically. That's coming up next. I think it's an interesting thought of, if you had something to do with this, again, I'm not saying he had anything to do with it, but let's say somebody did have something to do with it, and you know they're already dead, and you know there's a knife in them, and someone says, can you do CPR? You're probably thinking, huh? Why would I? Like, this is already... But supposedly at this moment, doesn't know that there's this knife in her, so there's not the immediate reaction of, sure. And so anyway, yeah.
So again, boy, that's really interesting. I have heard this before a while ago, Tony. It's interesting because the first thing you'd be saying, again, place yourself in that moment. Out of all everything that you're described here, as he's painting the picture, he's painting a picture of someone who's bloody on the floor. He has no idea why they're bloody and on the floor. But actually there's a knife protruding from the chest.
Maybe she hit her head. Maybe she did this. But there's a knife protruding from her chest, and he misses that.
The first thing that came to your mind was, oh, my God, what the F do I do? There's a freaking knife in her chest. That's exactly what you would say and do. Well, that's what you tell the 911 person. Should I pull it out? Do I not pull it out? What do I do?
Well, that's
what you would actually do.
What is the impetus for the 911 call if you're not even over there looking at her yet? Usually you would go over and, well, what the hell is going on? And you see what's going on and you try to save her if you can. And you get an assessment of the situation quickly. If she's just lying on the ground on the other side of the room, the first reaction is usually not, let's just call 911. It's go over there and see what is going on first.
Right.
But that's not what occurs in this, the way that this plays out on the phone call, which doesn't, again, doesn't make a lot of sense. Again, people react to things differently, and you look and go, how that, why, huh? What were you thinking? I don't know. Again, not saying anything. I'm just saying, look at the evidence. Look at the clues. Ask questions.
Again, it's the data points, Tony. Yeah. It's like all the data points of the extremely low probability for suicide, extremely low probability for how she committed suicide. Now, again, like you said, don't know, not saying he did or didn't, but extremely low probability for the 911 call methodology.
Yes, and the 911 call really is what I think gets it for me, going, there's something.
So you have such low probability on how this whole thing took place, on every single aspect of it.
Yeah. Let's continue on, because there's more on the 911 call. Let's keep playing that. So this is picking up from, I suppose I have to, in terms of doing CPR on his dead fiance.
Okay, so get her flat on her back, bare her chest, okay? You want to rip her shirt off. Okay, you need to kneel down by her side.
Oh, my God. Allie, please.
Listen, you can't freak out, sir, because you
okay, I'm trying not to. Her shirt won't come off. It's a zipper. Rip oh, my off. God. She stabbed herself.
Where?
She fell with a knife. Oh, no. Her knife's sticking out.
Her what?
There's a knife sticking out of her heart.
Oh, she stabbed herself?
I guess so. I don't know where she fell on it. I don't know.
Okay, well, don't touch it.
Okay, so I just let her down here now? I mean, what do I do?
No, I mean, you can't. If the knife is in her chest, it's going to be kind of hard for you to do CPR at this time.
Oh, no. Oh, my goodness. Okay.
Police, which operator?
277.
Is all someone coming here?
Yes, they are. You said 4601 Flat Rock, right?
Yes.
Okay, someone's on the way. And the knife is still inside?
Wait, so what?
The knife is still inside of her?
Yes, I didn't take it out.
Was it her chest or what area?
It's in her chest. It's like, it looks like it's right in her heart.
Okay, someone's on the way out there, okay? Just get
oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Okay, how old is she?
She's 27.
27. And there's no sign of life at all?
No, please don't be. What?
Bend her under her arm and tell me if she responds to pain.
She's... Ellie!
That's the a good chunk of the 911 call right there. Thoughts on the second half?
Just more of the same. Very scripted. Just very scripted. The other thing, too, that's interesting, how do you stab yourself through your rib cage?
I thought the verbiage was really, oh, my God, it's in her heart. It's in her heart. I don't think, I mean, I have a general idea of where my heart is, but I don't think if I saw a stab, I'd be like, it's in the heart. I'd be like, it's stabbed. It's in their chest. There's a knife in her. There's not in her heart. That I found odd. Again, everybody does things differently, communicates differently. And I also thought it was interesting, the shock that is going through this individual. I don't know. I swear all the time. So the whole damn call would be bleeped if it was me.
Oh, yeah.
But there was only like one bleep in there or a few.
Oh, my gosh.
And when it's like, it's in her heart. Oh, my goodness.
Gosh.
Oh, my goodness. Yeah. Like if someone spilled milk. Oh, my goodness. Let's go get a rag and clean that up. Not so, there's blood everywhere and she's been stabbed everywhere.
So law of probabilities here is really off the charts, because most. Again, suicide by knife is one of the least common, because it's very personal. It's violent. It's painful. It's horrible, right? And when the people do it, they're going for soft tissues. The most common spot where the people stab themselves is the abdomen, because it's soft tissue. It does a lot of damage. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a slow, painful death from it too. The second places is like the legs, the inside of the thighs, carotid, the arteries there, major arteries. Same thing. People go for the wrist. Sometimes the jugular on the neck is the least common place. The rib cage. Try to get through a rib cage with a knife.
Try to just like get baby back ribs and just randomly take your knife and get through that. Yeah.
And the pain involved with it too. So things that stop people is pain. You know, I don't care how bad you want to kill yourself, the pain associated with it is it's the most painful thing that you can go through, is a stabbing in the chest.
Mm-hmm.
And to self-inflict one, it's extremely rare. Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
And at the end, again, I keep there all of that, because there's just, it's just like piles and piles of shit over here of like, there's, this does not look right. As, again, the biggest one to me is just simply, okay, so we need to believe she turned into a zombie and stabbed herself after she died.
Mm-hmm.
That one to me is just like, okay, what more do you need here to know this is not a suicide? Because if we are to believe the official original report, it is that she would have had to have come back from the dead and stabbed herself several times deeply. Again, it's like, what are we, it's like talking to a crazy person when you try to have a conversation with somebody that thinks that this is legitimately a suicide. Fortunately, there's very few people who actually feel that way, but it's it just defies all logic and reality.
Yeah, I know we made this reference once before on another episode when it came to bite wounds and in the Karen Reed case and the dog with Jaws. Mm-hmm. Well, same thing here. If you go back to the movie Jaws, the medical examiner first ruled it a shark attack because of everything they saw. And then the mayor came in and said, oh, we can't say it's a shark attack because it killed tourism, and he reversed it.
Mm-hmm.
So the medical examiner first rules this a murder, a homicide, and then changes his mind.
Yeah.
What compelled him to change his mind? What challenge, priority, or pain point to get poked at in him, in his life, that inspired him to change that to a suicide, when nothing in science or in data accumulation in this type of thing supports it?
That's the question. And I'm thinking there might be some people out there that don't want that answered, and it hasn't been answered in 14 years. And maybe there should be a little bit concern very soon, because I think that answer may be brought to light.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.